This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and I want to lift out verse 11, because from verses 10 to 14 represent this cluster of scriptures that Paul is dealing with from 10 to 14. When you have a little time, spend that and go through that and check that out, because one of the things that Paul is doing is trying to help the Philippian church, the believers who had been so helpful and supportive of his ministry, to understand that his desire was that God would richly bless them as they have blessed him. But he needed them to know it's a spiritual thing. It's not just about a money thing or a material thing. It's a spiritual thing. So Philippians 4 and 11, if you have it, say amen. Amen. Begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I want to speak for a few moments from this colloquial saying, any way the wind blows is cool with me. Now you say, how do you get any way the wind blows is cool with me out of that? Stick with me, you'll see. One of the things that Paul is saying here to the church at Philippi is, I appreciate what you've done. I appreciate what you're doing. Go back to verse 10 really quickly. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Paul is saying, listen, let me be clear here. I thank God that now, whether that's because they were able to reach Paul. Paul was a distant traveler. Many times he would go into different cities and different areas, and Paul could not be reached or found for months at a time. Sometimes he was in prison. Whatever the case may have been, he thanks God that their care of him has continued to flourish. Now, one of the things he makes clear is the fact that they worried about trying to be a blessing to the man of God who had been such a blessing to them and couldn't get it to him. Listen again. He makes clear that they had tried to do it, but they could not do it because they did not have opportunity. Now, when the word talks about careful, it's the same word careful that's used in verse 6 when it says, be what? For nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's that same careful. It's that worry. It's that anxiety. He discovered that they were not, which not a lot of folk do, they were worried because they wanted to be a blessing. Let me say this to you. When people want to be a blessing, they find a way to be the blessing. Well, if you'd have come to church today, I had something for you. Or if you would have come here and done this, I would have given you this. Well, you didn't really want to do it. It was something you just, if anything worked out to your favor, you would have done it. But when they wanted to do it, they found him. They looked for him. And then Paul says, look, after he gets through celebrating them and what they were doing, he says, verse 11 now, not that I speak in respect of want. This word want means need. Not that I speak in respect of need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now let's break this verse down, verse 4, these 21 words in this verse. Listen to what he said. Let's listen at first of all, the first 8 words deal with Paul's disclaimer. Paul's disclaimer. What is Paul disclaiming? He's making clear this is not all about money. I'm not talking to you about money because I need some. Not that I speak in respect of want or need. So he wants to be clear about his disclaimer. This isn't all about money. Don't get hooked up, messed up, tied up, thinking just, here we go again, money. But now let's move on to the next part. He says, for I have learned. For I have learned. Now we're talking about his personal discovery. His personal discovery. Paul says, for I have learned. Now let me back through this and go through this once again grammatically. There are 4 grammatical marks when he says, not that I speak in respect of want, there is a colon. I'll come back and deal with that. For I have learned, comma, in whatsoever state I am, comma, therewith to be content, period. Now let's go back, colon. You know, there are several meanings for a colon. Colon can be the 2 dots, one above the other. Could be for a quotation coming, for a list coming, stand between 2 independent clauses. Or in this case, it can be a sign flashing, watch out for what's coming. The colon is saying, watch out for what's coming. What are we saying? For I have learned. Now, Paul, how have you learned? Let's look at some ways he has learned. One, he's learned educationally, both spiritually and secularly. Paul, being a Jew and a Pharisee of that sect, being of the strictest, Paul's parents spent a lot of time in giving him, his name was Saul then, but giving him and those children of that day and time a great knowledge about the scriptures, teaching them about God, teaching them about the law, etc., etc., etc. So he understood it from a spiritual context. Of course, later when he met Jesus and then was filled with the Holy Spirit, he received a lot of education through revelation of the Holy Ghost and through the Word of God. And so he moves on through this area of education and going through both spiritual and secular, meaning regular school learning, etc. Paul was an exceptional student. Some suggest that he spoke between 12 and 14 languages. He had the ability to articulate his thoughts, concerns, feelings, and more especially the Word of God in such a unique way that people heard Paul. Paul talked so long, for hours. If you think I preach long, You should have heard Paul. Paul, matter of fact, one instance tells us Paul went and spoke all night long. Young man was sitting in the windowsill, and he fell out the windowsill dead. Listening to Paul. Paul said, excuse me one moment. He left our church, out of a house, and went downstairs and revived the boy and said, next time, pay attention. And went on back with his sermon. Paul was long-winded, but he had a lot to say. And my brothers and sisters, listen. When you have a lot to say, it's worth saying right. Secondly, and not only did he learn from education, but he learned through experiences. Experiences. You know, they say experience is what? The best teacher. Experiences cost you something. They cost you something. You may learn some things from other folk, but the greatest and most costliest lessons will come through experiences. See, mama could say a whole lot of things. Mama can tell you, don't touch that, that's hot. Hot, hot. Mama turn on here. Once you touch the hotness, you learn that hot means y'all got it. So experience was another teacher. Third thing was a word called existentialism. 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 What was existentialism? Existentialism was a philosophical way of learning about things, catching it, caught things learned because you caught them, or things through the collective you sought. But what it is the ability to learn some things in untraditional ways. Paul was so smart. Paul used to go up to Athens, up to Mars Hill, and not only hear the greatest minds like Aristotle, Socrates, and all of these others, but he would reason with them and blow their minds. Not because he was a philosopher, but because he had the word of God embedded deep in his heart. And so there are some things Paul makes clear. I have learned. It didn't come by osmosis. It was something required of me to gain something I needed. So he shares with us his personal discovery, but then move on, because now he deals with the possibility of diversities, difficulties, and differences. Look at what he says. In what? In whatsoever state I am. In whatsoever state I am. Now remember, before he says this, what does he say? I have learned. So that tells us one thing, first of all, that what is important about life will be learned. I was so excited to hear the GPA scores of many of these young people here. And listen, you don't always have to be a high GPA. You can be a 1.5 and still be a brilliant person. Everybody don't have the intellect, but it don't mean they ain't smart. Don't get it twisted now. Some of your richest folk didn't even graduate from school. Entrepreneurs and people who have gone on to express themselves and share what it is their desire was, and it made them millionaires. So it's about using what you've got. What level you may be on, use what you've got. So listen at this again now. He says, in whatsoever state I am, regardless of the diversities, regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the differences. In other words, you may be hot one day, cold the next day, right one day, wrong the day, next day, up one day, down the next way, rich one day, poor the next day, hungry one day, full the next day. I mean, whatsoever state, meaning that the possibilities of different things can happen, but listen, you can't always control what happens to you.
All right, come on now.
But you do have a say-so in how you respond to it. Are you listening to me? There are things you have happened to you and you wonder why they happen to you. You're a good person, a godly person. And yet bad things happen to good people. Why? Because God is using those things in the different ways to develop you and to define you and to make you what you want. Listen, just because bad things happen to good people, conversely, good things happen to bad people.
Yes, yes.
The 73rd Psalm, the psalmist almost gave up when he started seeing all the wicked prospering and being blessed, seeing only the drug addicts having the finest cars, clothes, gold chains, rings, and all of the beautiful things that people working hard, going to school, doing what's right can't get. And he see them doing all these wicked things. But the psalmist remind him, their hands, it's like on a pole that's slipping down. They won't be able to hold on to it long. Because when you get it wrong, it don't stay long. Listen, listen, listen. So we need you to understand something. He talks about, again, what he's learned. Now, in this next portion here, the second portion, a third portion rather, he's talking about what he lived. See, when you learn stuff, you need to live it. You don't learn just to learn, you learn so that it can advance your living, that it can create a higher level of life for you, higher level of expectation, higher level of execution. When you learn something, put it in action. He learned how to be content. And now he's showing through ups, downs, right, wrong, good, bad, whatever, he's living contentment. Listen now. And then he moves on. He says, therewith to be content.
Yes, Lord.
Therewith to be content. Now this is where I've been trying to get to when I started. To be content. To be not complacent, but content. What's the difference between being complacent? Complacent has a sense of saying, okay, well, this is it. Well, I can't do nothing about it. Hey, I ain't gonna worry about it. Just go on with it. There is a difference between being content, which means happy and adjusted, or being able to know that there is something better, there is something greater, there is something farther up ahead that's coming, and I know where I am is just temporary. Some people live their lives complacently throughout their entire lives. They start at point A and they end at point A. They never advance on up the ladder. They just stay right where they start because they're complacent. And so the difference is knowing that whatever you're going through, whatever difficulty you're experiencing, it's only temporary. And when you know that, you can be content. When folk look at some of us who've gone through some things, like, I don't know how she could make it. I don't know how he could go through that. I would be then lost my mind. You need to learn some contentment. Because here's what you've got to understand. Contentment is something, one, Paul reveals to us that you need to what? Thank you. I thank God for the listeners and note takers. Learn. That means that contentment don't just happen. It's not natural. It's not normal. And many times, men who want their own way don't need it. Because what they want is what they want, and anything less than that, they're not satisfied with. So you got to learn contentment. Secondly, once you learn it, you got to what? Live it. You got to live what you know. God has blessed you to learn it, now live it. He didn't cause you to learn it for nothing. That's why when you go to the 12th verse, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Again, I remind you that when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, he's talking about Christ giving me the strength to live what I've learned. He didn't say, I can do everything, but he said, I can do all things. You know, I think another transliteration of that would have made it easier for a lot of folk to really catch the force and connection if it says, I can do all these things through Christ which strengthened me. And then they would have been wondering, well, what things? And then you go back to verse 12 and it tell you the things. But then remember, look in verse 9. He says, those things both which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me. What?
Do.
What?
Do.
See, you can learn it, but if you don't do it, it doesn't profit you. What good does it do you to learn how to achieve and then you start acting like you ain't never heard of the things that you do know and acting like somebody who has no learning? You have got to express yourself. You've got to extend yourself. You have got to show that what you know is worth knowing. And so listen at this, and I'm closing. Listen, he makes clear, not only do I learn contentment, not only do I live contentment, but I like contentment. I like being content. Uh-huh, that's the way. Mm-hmm. In whatsoever state I am, I like it. I like it, and when you like something long enough and you grow in it, you begin to love it. Paul's lifestyle shows us that he loved being contented. That contentment that Paul had was something that cost him very much. But let me ask you a question. Why do you think Paul could be so content in the things he learned and he lived? Well, let me help you understand some things. In the learning, in the education, spiritual and secular, he received knowledge. In the experiential experiences, he received wisdom. And in the existentialism that he received, he was able to catch things that the collective, meaning others who had shared. Do you know everything you know you won't learn from a classroom? Some of the richest lessons I've learned from people who wouldn't know their name written across this wall as big as it was. Don't know their names written. They have to make an X for their name. But have the wisdom of God and can share with you some things that'll blow your mind. And tell you how to handle some situations that if you do it, you'll be the better for them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so you need to learn how to be careful who you associate with, who you hang out with, who you text with, who you talk with, who you spend time with. Because here's what you need to know. If folk aren't going where you're going, then you need to be going in another direction. Because I can promise you, if you're on your way up and they're not on their way up, they're going to want to hold you down because they don't want you to leave them. Because they're happy with nothing. Sorry, Harry. Think I'm gonna have to put you down. Listen now. Now if there's somebody named Harry, I'm talking about Harry Hippie now. let me give you three suggestions why Paul was able to be content. One, because he learned how to live the providence of God.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport, Greenwood, 92.5.